You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. In the last 3 days, I've gone from D.C. to L.A. to Chicago. Tony, where have you gone?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. To bed, to the grocery store, to the glasses. How much more do you want me to do?
That's your rotation. That's your rotation right there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm back in D.C. tomorrow. Back in D.C. tomorrow. Four cities, four days. You know?
You know what? It's like around the world in 80 days for you. That's fantastic. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Warriors and Draymond Green are giving each other space. Phil Mickelson supports Rory McIlroy, and Booger McFarland joins us for 5 good minutes. But we begin today with the mess on the Lakers. They lost last night to Miami without Jimmy Butler. It was their 9th loss in their last 12 games. The Lakers are in 10th place in the Western Conference. The Athletic is reporting that there is currently a deepening disconnect between Darvin Ham and the locker room, raising questions about the head coach's standing. LeBron James left the locker room last night without talking, which he never does. Wilbon, what do you make of the current state of the Lakers?
They're a mess. And it's funny to blame Darvin Ham, who was roundly and justifiably celebrated for getting to the conference finals last year after Rob Pelinka swapped out the whole team at the deadline. So it shows you how fickle everybody is with the Lakers. And it's the most fickle fan base, I think, Tony, really, in any sport. I mean, even above the Cowboys and other franchises, the Laker fans. And it's funny being in L.A. yesterday and having this, you know, having this groundswell when they lose to Miami without Jimmy Butler. And that's a game. Look, Tony, they got like 11 of 12 games at home. And the Lakers need to go 8-3 in those 11 games, really 9-2, because they are in 10th place. They've got to climb a lot of people, and you don't just leapfrog teams. You got teams like Denver and Minnesota and Oklahoma City and even New Orleans, whose rosters, in my opinion, are better than the Lakers' top-heavy roster of two. But if you go from 1-7, not 1-12, 1-7, their rosters are better. So Rob Pelinka's got to thread the needle again, which is that's an impossible ask. And LeBron and Anthony Davis, who've already played essentially every game, they're playing well, and the Lakers aren't good enough. They're not good enough.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the tidbit about LeBron is very juicy because there's nobody playing basketball, maybe ever, who's gotten rid of as many coaches as LeBron has gotten rid of. And I'm wondering if he didn't want to talk last night because he didn't want to answer questions about Darvin Ham. And if that's true, it would not augur well for Darvin Ham, especially after a players-only meeting. Mike, the simple solution for a lot of these things in all sports is to fire the coach. And often that works. Let's look at the Edmonton Oilers, right? The Edmonton Oilers have two superstars. They got Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, just like LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They fired the coach and they took off. They're still on a heater. This could happen to the Lakers. But as you pointed out, Mike, last year the Lakers started out 2-10 and they made the conference finals. I mean, I just think it's Darvin Ham's turn in the box. Like, the Warriors are in the same sort of trouble as the Lakers are. I mean, you're not going to fire Steve Kerr. He's got 4 rings, right? It's not, never going to happen.
And you know, let me just say this. Tony, you raise a great point. And it's going to come up again with a fickle, crazy fan base and people obsessed with that franchise. Tony, if they fire Darvin Ham, let me go on record as saying this right now. They will go into the dumper if they fire Darvin Ham, who did a hell of a job last year with that team, getting them as far as he got them. Darvin Ham, a smart guy and a real man. Let them fire him. And I hope they lose every damn game. And they will deserve to do that if they lay this at the feet of Darvin Ham.
Let me stay with basketball. Tonight will mark the Warriors' 11th straight game without Draymond Green. Green hasn't played since striking Yusuf Nurkic of the Suns in the face on December 12th, an indefinite suspension that Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN reported on Christmas would ultimately last 11 to 13 games. But Green has not been practicing with the team, and Coach Steve Kerr says, quote, we've been giving him his space, and he's been giving us ours, unquote. Wilbon, how does the situation between Draymond Green and the Warriors sound to you?
Tone, there is no situation. I mean, he's got a way to go before he's back on the court in the game. And Woj talked about that a few days before he's even back in the facility. Well, he's not practicing with them. This is, you know, this is not like Ja Morant, who was practicing with the team while suspended. It's not. Draymond hasn't even been there. So he's got to get back in that space. They need him. They're about 500 with and without him. But they're going to need Draymond Green if they're going to make a move in the West and be a threat come the playoffs. So what does that mean? How soon do they have to get him back? This space thing is necessary. When Draymond Green comes back, and he's coming back, he is going to have to demonstrate continually a complete change in behavior from what we've seen. The Warriors know that, even though they've never really insisted on it. All right, Draymond Green's going to know that now, and he's still got to satisfy the commissioner's office. He's got to satisfy the league that he should be back. He'll get back. But, Tony, this notion that he's coming back in the next couple of days to save the day, people need to put that away.
So I don't know the intricacies of this situation, but I would focus less on when he's coming back and more on what he's doing now. The fact is he has the right to practice with the team every single day, and he hasn't done that. To me, Mike, and I could be wrong, this indicates he's taking the suspension very seriously, and he's working on problems that he has identified. Because this could be, you got to be cognizant of this, could be the last chance he ever gets to play in the league. And I think he wants to be emotionally and psychologically ready for this. The notion of 11 to 13 games strikes me as too few. You and I, when the punch happened, you and I sat on the show and said at least 20. So 11 to 13, to be honest, Mike, with his behavioral problems in the past, 11 to 13 by the NBA sounds like a fine for David Tepper from the NFL. Yeah, it sounds like they don't care about it as much as they should. Am I wrong?
No, Tony, I agree with every word you've just said. And that's what I'm saying. Draymond, he knows when he comes back, things have to be different. This can't just be business as usual as it was defined all these things. And the Warriors know that, Tone. I believe that while they've let it go in the past, because Draymond is so critical to everything they do, and you mentioned emotionally and psychologically, he is. There's no getting around that. But, you know, this is a different day. And so I'm not looking for him to come and save the day now. Maybe he can help save it in, February or later. Let's move to the state of professional golf. Earlier this week, Rory McIlroy told the Stick to Football podcast that he'd made a bit of a mistake in being too judgmental of PGA Tour players who jumped to the Saudi Tour. Phil Mickelson posted in response that this probably wasn't easy for Rory to say, and it's time for himself and others to let go of the hostilities that have existed the last couple of years between the two sides. Tony, do you see golf coming together?
Now, first, let me just say that Phil Mickelson sees the future better than everyone, but he's a prophet without honor, which is too bad. If I understand Mickelson's position and many golfers' positions, it's essentially this. They want to be able to play wherever they want, whenever they want, for a lot of money. They're individual athletes. They don't care about teams. They don't care about anybody else. They care about themselves. And that's essentially what they want to do. They want liquidity. They want to be able to go from tour to tour whenever they want to do that. The quirky thing to me in this deal is Rory has spun himself around. Rory started out as a staunch defender of the PGA Tour and a staunch critic of the Saudi Tour. And now Rory is not in that position. He has retrenched. He has, you know, he took himself off the policy board. He watched a good friend, John Rahm, sign up for the Saudi Tour, and he's trying to understand how it works. So what Rory is doing now, instead of being a partisan, he's trying to be a peacemaker, it seems to me, and he's trying to find ground that won't shift under his feet. That's what he's doing.
And Tony, there's no other way to go. he may as well find this new ground because the old ground collapsed. And I, to be fair, I told you this. I told you this wasn't going away. The Saudis weren't, the Saudi tour and the guys going over weren't going to just go away because people didn't like the politics. That wasn't going to happen. There's too much money at stake. And John Rahm, like you said, is a central figure now because Rory can't just say, oh, there's a few wild card guys and I'm going to be mad at them and we're going to bully our way through this, me and Tiger. No, that ain't happening. As a matter of fact, Tony, that got soundly defeated. And so here's Phil Mickelson. And Phil was the first accurate voice out there. He was, all right?
Yeah.
And now Phil's coming back. And let me give both of them credit. Let me give Rory some credit for recognizing what the hell is going on. The winds of change have blown.
You can stand there
if you want and get the full value of it. You can say, wait a minute. Let me reevaluate.
Right.
He and Phil have both done it good.
I think you're right. I think there is going to be a settlement. And I think when they make the peace, Mike, when they make the peace, Jay Monahan has to go and Greg Norman has to go because they're antagonists. And when you make a peace, you have to have people who are conciliatory, which is something Phil may want to do. Let's take a break. Coming up, how much rest is too much rest in the NFL? We're going to ask Booger McFarland.
We'll also ask him why the Eagles defense is struggling like they are. Man, bad.
I mean, all these guys, Rory included, got stabbed in the back.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's dig into the NFL and college football with ESPN NFL and college football analyst Booger McFarland wearing a Pine Valley shirt today, and Wilbon and I are very jealous. Let's start with this. The one seeds will both sit their quarterbacks this week. So that's Lamar Jackson and Brock Purdy. Though the Niners coach Kyle Shanahan said, and this is a direct quote, "I don't think it's good for anyone to take 2 weeks off," unquote. Do you agree with Shanahan?
You know, typically, Tony, I would agree with him, but I think in these two particular situations, we have to look a little closer. Let's look at Baltimore. Lamar Jackson, toward the end of last year, hurt the ankle. So do you really want Lamar Jackson coming into the playoffs again this year? Not healthy. Look at the 49ers. We all know what happened at Philadelphia with Brock Purdy and his elbow. They didn't even have a quarterback. They had Christian McCaffrey playing quarterback. So typically, I would agree with Kyle. Yeah, you want to be well-oiled and well-lubed and ready to go. But for these two guys, I think rest over rust as far as going and sitting those guys down. I want my guys well-rested. I don't think either Lamar nor Brock Purdy should play in this game.
All right, Booger, you know I got to turn this toward defense and specifically the Eagles, who have lost 4 out of 5, and their defense has gone south of south. You know a little bit about defensive play. Why has their defense, so great a year ago, been so bad the last half of this season?
You know, Mike, it's funny you mentioned a year ago. Let's think back. They led the National Football League and almost set a record in sacks. I think it was 70 sacks during the regular season or something like that. This year, they're not rushing the passer the same. And when you can't get the same pressure up front, that means the guys on the back end have to cover a little longer, and those guys are getting exposed. And to dig a little deeper, the age-old problem with the Eagles has always been this. The middle of the field has been very susceptible for their defense, meaning the linebackers and the safeties. And so they go out and try to make a trade, and they get Kevin Byard to try to shore up the middle of that defense. But overall, the pass rush is not there. The middle of the field is still kind of vulnerable. And this defense is not the same. And if we want to go to the other side of the football and be really honest, the quarterback, Jalen Hurts, is not playing to the same level that he played last year. Seems to be forcing the football to A.J. Brown a little bit, and that's something you don't want to do when you got other weapons like Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert and Swift. So they got to get back and see if they can find themselves. Unfortunately, I think at this point in the season, you are what you are. I don't know if they can fix it at this point, Mike.
Booger, let's stay with your defensive expertise, but move to the college level for a second. I am guessing that as a defender, you would look at Washington's offense and think they pose a little more problem than Michigan's offense. But tell me if I'm crazy. Which one of those, as a defender, do you look at and say, okay, they're better?
Well, I tell you, the offense I'd rather go against is the Northwestern offense. If you give me that offense, I sign up to go against him any day of the week, Michael Wilbon.
Hey, that's we're bowl one. Eligible. Now, we made a bowl game, beat Utah now.
I got it. I understand. If I got to choose between these two offenses, yeah, you're right. The Washington offense scares you to death because they got a quarterback in Michael Penix that can really throw the football as accurately as I've ever seen. And we can talk about all the quarterback attributes we want to. The number one attribute that a quarterback can have to be successful is accuracy. And Michael Penix Jr. has that. Now, the receivers he's got three of them that are going to play in the NFL, and McMillan, Polk, and Odunze. They're running the football with Dylan Johnson especially well since the USC game. So this offense is potent. As far as Michigan, you know what you're going to get. Like, it's old school Bo Schembechler football with a little twist. It's power football between the tackles. It's a little bit of J.J. McCarthy on the edge. But Michigan wants to take you in a 15-round fight and knock you out at the end. Washington is trying to knock you out from the word go. So as a defender, I'll take Michigan all day because that Washington offense is super explosive.
Well, then maybe I shouldn't even ask this question, but we'll get you out on this. Which way are you leaning in that game?
If I got to lean, Tony, I learned a long time ago. If I got to choose between really good offense and really good defense, I'm choosing really good defense. And I think Michigan has the better defense. And so regardless of how high-flying that offense is, think about the Super Bowl between the Broncos and the Seahawks. And the Broncos came in and Peyton Manning, they're scoring 50 points a game. And Manning is doing all these different things. And we said for the first time, good offense is going to be really good defense. I think we all know what happened in that Super Bowl. Okay, so I think this game is going to turn out very similar. The team with the better defense. And Michael Wilbon, I know you hate to say it, but Go Blue is going to hold up and win the national title on Monday night.
It's hard for me, Booger. It's hard for me to go there. But it's the conference, so Go Blue.
Thank you, Booger, as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Booger. Appreciate it,
anytime,
man.
Anytime, guys.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, a star running back heads for the transfer portal.
Don't they all? And how significant is it that the Pacers keep beating the Bucks? You know, Booger's right. He knows. You know, it's tough. But I got to root for the conference, Tone. I can't root
for
another purple school.
Isn't UW going into the Big Ten? Isn't UW going into the Big Ten?
Yeah, but they're not. Come on, I know. But that's kind of fraudulent. It's like...
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey.
Happy time, people. Happy 30th birthday, Derrick Henry. The former Heisman winner at Alabama has been a beast for the Tennessee Titans. Henry's gone over 1,000 yards in every season but one when he was hurt and played only 8 games. Henry is the active NFL leader in rushing yards with 9,349 and in rushing touchdowns with 89. But as he ages, there is a diminishing. Henry has 1,014 yards and 11 touchdowns this year, down from a career high of 2,027 and 17 in 2020, down from 1,538 and 13 last season. Still, if he gets past the line of scrimmage, nobody wants a piece of him at 6'3 and 247 pounds. The Titans are 5-12. It's the worst record since 2015, and Henry will be a free agent at the end of the season.
I bet part of Derrick Henry wishes that he had been born a little different time and had played in the NFL when Joe Gibbs and Bill Parcells and Jimmy Johnson, when those guys were coaching and they knew how to use a running back and would run an opposition down. Derrick Henry, Tony, he might be on the Mount Rushmore of great running backs if he had played in that era. And now he just plays for people who want to look at the numbers and can't figure it out.
Speaking of running backs, happy anniversary, Eric Dickerson. On this day 38 years ago, the Rambassador set the NFL playoff single-game rushing record when he ran wild against the Cowboys to the tune of 248 yards and 2 touchdowns in a 20-0 victory. Dickerson got loose on touchdown runs of 55 and 40 yards. Allegedly, Dickerson was offended by Cowboys coach Tom Landry, saying he ran too upright and he was likely to get hurt. Dickerson got his 248 yards on 34 carries. Dickerson's closest pursuer is Raheem Mostert, who had 220 yards and 4 touchdowns in 29 carries for the 49ers in a playoff win over Green Bay in 2020.
Tony, I love Eric Dickerson. I'm not going to put him above Jim Brown, Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith. I'm just not. Those guys, that's the top of mind. But after that, the conversation opens up. And yes, I've got people like Marcus Allen and Marshall Faulk, and who's a different kind of back. But Eric Dickerson's name has to be mentioned in there, and somehow it seems to me that it isn't. And I don't understand that. Eric Dickerson, another one, Tony. And they wouldn't even know what to do with Eric Dickerson now. They would say, why don't you come in on third downs? We'll figure out if we can use you.
Happy trails to the NBA for Ricky Rubio. Rubio announced his retirement today, one day after agreeing to a buyout from the Cavaliers. Rubio missed most of his 2 seasons with Cleveland with his second torn ACL. He then stepped away from the team completely this summer, citing mental health issues. Rubio played pro ball in Spain starting at the age of 14. The Timberwolves selected him with the 5th overall pick of the 2009 draft. He arrived in Minnesota from Barcelona 2 years later, and over a 12-year NBA career that also included stops in Utah and Phoenix, Rubio averaged 11 points and 7.5 assists per game. As to his mental health, Rubio said in a statement, "It's getting better every day, and one day he'd love to share his experience in hopes of helping others."
Wish all of his health, mental and physical, had held up, Tony, and he might have had a little different ending to the career.
Well, we got to go fast to the big finish. Pacers beat the Bucks.
Let's do it.
For the 2nd time this week, 4th time this season. Big deal?
The big deal is Milwaukee's defense has disappeared like the Eagles' defense. Ole Miss star running back Quinshon Judkins is entering the transfer portal. You surprised?
Yeah, he has 34 touchdowns in 2 years and they look like a title contender. Auston Matthews of the Maple Leafs is the first player to 30 goals this season. You impressed?
Yeah, he's on pace for 68, his career high 60. Chris Sale of the Braves will agree to a 2-year deal worth $38 million. Is that significant?
If he's healthy, he can pitch him into the World Series. If he's healthy. Last one, Rafael Nadal won again. Your reaction?
I told you, I'm not going to get into individual match stuff. Osaka and Nadal playing again? That's good for tennis and for sport.
We're out of time. We will try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knucklehead. You can get the podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. Tony, I didn't mean to forget Barry Sanders. Running backs everywhere. What happened? And now?
Man, they don't use them anymore. They don't use them. They don't like them.
They don't get. No, can't figure it out. The geniuses, though.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority.
Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.